guys, something very unusual is happening right now that has captured my interest, and I believe it's something we need to discuss today. As the time of this recording, Bible sales are at an all-time high. The interest of the Word of God is exploding. But at the same time, the number of churches that are struggling to stay open because of attendance dwindling down is also at an all-time high. So we've got a paradox that's taking place right now. But I believe when we dig deeper into this, I believe this is absolutely a sign of the coming of the Lord. And before we get saddened over this, I want to show you some stuff today that's going to, I believe, it's going to really show you that we truly are living in the times that the prophets told us and forewarned about, and that this would be an indication that the end of the age is indeed near. Let's talk about it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Monday, December 30th. This will be the last Monday broadcast of 2024. We want to welcome you to today's program. I'm your host, Ricky Scaparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. Listen, if this is your first time joining us, maybe you're coming in from Instagram or TikTok or Facebook or any or Twitter or wherever you're coming in from, we want to welcome you to the broadcast. In the chat, I'm sure our admins will welcome you as well. Let us know where you're coming from, what city, what location outside of America, whatever the case may be. Let us know that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. And we want you to know that we love you already and we appreciate you coming in and tuning into the broadcast. Listen, while you're at it, you guys that are new, and you guys that are hopping on, why don't you do us a favor, help us out and hit that like button. That's going to help get eyes on our program here on YouTube and also on Rumble or wherever you may be watching from. And go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. And then if you want to take it a step further and you don't want to miss any of our content, we want to let you know that we do have a free app and you can pick it up at your leisure today. At the end of this broadcast or whatever the case may be, you can go to your Play Store, Apple, Android, whatever you have. Download the free app, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away with every headline, every podcast, every prophecy viewpoint, every breaking news. Everything is going to be right at your fingertips. All right, guys, as I mentioned at the introduction of this podcast, we have got a strange paradox that's taking place right now. Number one, as I said, I'm going to show you this article real quick. They are telling us now that Bible sales are booming. And I want you to look at this. Despite a decline in religiosity, a first-time buyer says, quote, it's about finding purpose. I want to say that again. The sale of Bibles is exploding. It's at an all-time high despite a decline of religiosity. Now, this is also happening despite, look at this. This is a brand new article. Look at this is the date, December 28, 2024. Churches are fighting to stay open as attendance dwindles. So here we are with the explosion of Bible sales, the explosion of interest of the Word of God. People are searching for purpose, for reason, for understanding. Yet the churches are suffering massive losses of attendance. What is going on here? I think many of us already know the answer to this. So I'm either going to reaffirm what you've already known, or maybe I'll give you some insight today that you maybe perhaps you didn't think about. So let's talk about this. So first of all, let's talk about the prophetic side to this. After all, we're End Time Headlines, right? News and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Well, first of all, we know that according to the Bible, and if we want to home in, I mean, there's multiple verses that talk about this, but if we want to home in and put this in the top three, verses or passages of the Bible that I believe are going to be your go-to, that's going to indicate what's going on. That's in Thessalonians. Let me go there. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Now, again, this is a very familiar passage for you guys who are regular viewers of our ministry. We quote this often. This is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul is speaking to the church of Thessalonica, and he is affirming to them, this is at the very introduction of this second letter to the church of Thessalonica. The Apostle Paul is affirming to them that they had not missed the rapture of the church. They had not missed the first boat out, even though, despite there was rumors spreading around the church, letters were being forged in Paul's name, and these rumors were spreading within the church that all of these folks had missed the rapture. They had missed the rapture, and they were going to be left behind, and they were going to have to endure the tribulation, the wrath of God. So Paul is affirming them here, and he says to them, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." So again, that's what he's talking about here. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first." Now look, we could, as much as we'd like to go and expound on the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, because he talks about that, but I want to home in right there on the falling away comes first, because that's the first thing out of the gate in the order of events that will transpire at the as we get close to the end of the age and the rapture of the church. Paul emphasizes that you will see a falling away that will come first. Now, again, the word falling away in the Greek means apostasia, and it means a defection of truth, a defection from truth, a departure of what is solid, what is true, what is biblical. There will be a defection of truth. There will be this apostasy that will run rampant in the body of Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, we're there. And we could spend an hour on that alone and talk about all these different, we could talk about false doctrines, we could talk about cults, we could talk about movements, we could talk about all kinds of stuff that will absolutely agree with what the Apostle Paul's saying here. So don't miss this though. Paul is saying that before the rapture of the church takes place, ladies and gentlemen, you need to know that there's going to come a falling away that will come first. Now stop. What does Paul mean by this? Who is falling away? Well, let's go to 1 Timothy. I want to show you something here real quick. Now, 1 Timothy gives us even more insight into this. Paul is here speaking again, and he's speaking to a young preacher, young pastor, and he says here, listen to this. Now, again, this is 1 Timothy chapter 4 for you guys listening by Apple or by Spotify. "Now, the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "expressively says that in the latter times," there you go, "in times, latter times, time of the end, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Now, you guys know that this is one of the things I have reiterated over and over and over again. Why? Because I have to use this to combat false doctrine. Because there is an entire false doctrine out there that states and tells the body of Christ that they cannot backslide, and that's false. Paul is speaking here and says, in the latter days, especially in the latter times, in the time of the end, right before the coming of the Lord, he says that there will be some that will depart from the faith. Again, you've heard me say this, guys, for you guys that are new, okay? For you guys that are regular viewers, bear with me. But you cannot depart from something unless you're first a part of something. So watch this. When Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica, And he said that there would come a falling away that will come first. He was not talking about people of the world that have no covenant with God, that are not in the house of God, that are not born again, because they're not in the faith to fall away from it to begin with. But this passage of scripture right here, folks, is talking about people who are professed Christians in the body of Christ, who are going to fall away from the faith. They're going to depart from the faith, like he told Timothy. And they're going to embrace false doctrines. They're going to be driven away by seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, and they will heed these things, and their conscience will become seared with a hot iron. This is what he's talking about. So, in other words, let's bring it back here. When Paul said, when you begin to see these things coming to pass, you'll know that the gathering together, the rapture, the harpazo, the blessed promise, our blessed hope is about to transpire. But this is the first thing that he warned about that we need to be paying attention to. So now let's go back to what we're talking about here. So how can the Bible sales be booming and exploding and flying off the shelves with interest in the Word of God and purpose and life, but yet the churches are dwindling? I propose to you today that we have come to a time in the church wherein which we have mastered the ability to market people to attract them to the church. But in the process of marketing to attract people to come to the church, we've lost the ability to attract the Holy Spirit to transform the people in the church. Let me say that again. That's a lot right there. Listen, we in this hour, we have mastered and perfected marketing in the body of Christ. We've got all the bells and whistles. We've got the platforms. We've got the eye-catching videos and the praise team and the sounds perfected, the great sound equipment, all of the electronic equipment. We've got the fog machines, the stage presentation. We've got we've got all the pretty faces on the stage. We've got the good-looking people on the stage. We've got the greatest voices. We've mastered marketing. We have perfected the ability to attract people to the church, but in the process of this, we have lost the ability to recognize, watch this, that the Holy Spirit in the process of this has been shunned from the church. And I got scripture for this, guys, so I'm going to show you this. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Look at this. One of the seven churches of Asia, Revelation chapter 3. Here we have the Spirit of the Lord is going through these seven churches and affirming them and correcting them. He's saying, you've got this going for you, but you've got this that there needs to be something done about this. Watch this. To the church of Sardis, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name. Look at this. You have a name that you are alive. So they have a name that they're alive. So they've got the marketing down. It's got a catchy name. You got to have a great name. You got to have that website. This is what they teach you in church building seminars. Not how to attract the Holy Spirit, not how to bring the presence of God, not how to pray, not how to intercede, but how to market yourself. You got to get your name out there. You got to get that. What's the name of the church? We got to have something catchy. You have a name that you're alive, but look at this. You are dead. In other words, translation, you've got all the marketing great. Everybody knows who you are. They see you. They see the bells and whistles. They see all the entertainment. You have perfected entertaining the church. But the Lord says, but when the Spirit of God finally showed up, he said, you're dead. There's no moving of the Holy Spirit. There's no yielding to the Spirit of God. There's no transformation. There's no repentance. There's no healing taking place. There's no miracles. There's no, the Holy Spirit's not being poured out. There's no gifts in operation here in the church. People are dead coming in. They're getting entertained and they're walking out the door the same as they did as they came in. Now, guys, I'm telling you, based on new research, I believe this is the picture of the modern day church today. You tell me, come on, I'd love to hear from your, I'd love to hear the comments below in the chat. Hit me up in the chat below on Rumble, on YouTube, whatever the case would be, on the broadcast of this or by the rebroadcast of this. I'd love to hear your insights on why Bible sales are exploding. So the interest in God is there. But the interest in the church, the brick and mortar church, is dwindling. Attendance is dropping. It's plummeting. So something's going on here. And somebody say, and I can hear it. Well, and I know the cliche. Well, folks. Well, Brother Ricky. People are interested in a relationship and not religion. Listen, I've heard this for years, but I'm going to tell you something. You know, the Bible says that there is a pure and undefiled religion. Now, I know some of y'all don't like that because you attack religion so much, but you don't realize that the Bible speaks of a pure and undefiled religion. Read about it. It's in the book of James. And James says that pure and undefiled religion is this: visiting the orphans and the widows and keeping oneself unspotted from the world. You know what that means? We like to talk about visiting the orphans and feeding the poor and helping the homeless and the needy. Those are great attributes, but nobody ever wants to talk about keeping oneself unspotted from the world. In other words, quit trying to fit in to the world and the culture of the world. And there are some things, guys, I got some notes here and I want to talk about. I believe there's some things that the early church possessed that the modern church has lost. In the process of becoming more modernized and marketed, we have lost some key ingredients that keeps a church alive and thriving. Okay. Number one is a big one. Ready? Relationship. Now the New Testament uses a word called koinonia. Koinonia, fellowship. You ever heard of the word fellowship? It's koinonia. And it literally means that word. Koinonia literally means community, communion, intimacy, and here's one, intercourse. Yes. When you put this together, when you look at the full understanding of this Greek word of koinonia or fellowship, it literally means, guys, that the early church had such an intimate relationship with one another. It wasn't shallow and disconnect like it is today. It was intimate. In fact, your Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 46, it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. There it is, that koinonia, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And it says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had needed. Did you hear that? So they were so in tune with one another and in tune with one another's needs, the hurts, the wounds, the ups, the downs, the goods, the bads. They knew one another's families. They knew their spouses. They knew their children. They knew intimate things about each other. Now, we're not talking about weird stuff here. Okay. So don't let your mind wander into weird stuff. Now, we're not talking about that kind of stuff. That's a cult church. That's the Nicolaitan church that Jesus warned about in the book of Revelation. That was the weird demonic stuff. I'm talking about you. When they went into the house of God, they said, there's Brother Jimmy. I know Brother Jimmy. Jimmy was delivered out of alcoholism. He's got a wonderful wife. He's got three kids. He's got a brother named Mark. He works down there at the auto store. He's been there for 25 years, and he suffers with a debilitating disease. And I'm talking about they had all things in common, and they knew one another intimately. We have lost that today in the body of Christ, sadly. Especially with the introduction of mega churches. You come in, and listen, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you, unless you get involved in small groups in a mega church, you'll be lost in the crowd. You'll be another number in the crowd. You'll see faces all the time. You won't know who they are. You don't know their names. You don't know anything about these people. So again, let me reiterate that. They had all who came together. This is the early church, right? All who believed were together. They had all things in common. They sold possessions of good, divided them among all that was in need. They helped one another. Come on, they were there for each other. They weren't just having fellowship in the temple, but watch this. But then they were having fellowship in their homes. They shared dinners with one another. They came together, even outside. And guys, I've only experienced this one time in my 24 years of serving the Lord. When I first got saved, we were attending it was a Church of God of Prophecy. That's what I came up in, by the way. If you didn't know that, that's what I cut my teeth in. When I got saved, we were in that denomination. There was a Church of God of Prophecy all the way in Hart County in Kentucky. And we lived this out, guys. The small church that we were in, we were very close-knit. We had all things in common. I mean, we fellowshiped in the church, outside of church. We went to each other's homes. We were always together. It was an amazing experience. And I thank God that I was able to experience that when I did. But something happened. Now, again, this was in 2001. That's when this took place. But then something happened right around 2004 that changed everything. You ready for this? It was the introduction of social media. When social media came, it killed it. It destroyed it. And again, look, I understand we're all gathering here together. Many of us have met each other on social media, and it has its goods, but there's a lot of negative to it too. Listen, there ain't nothing that can beat personal flesh and blood interaction with other brothers and sisters. Even the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, even as the matter of some, even more so as the day approaches. We got to have koinonia. We have to have fellowship. So listen, if we're going to a church that has quenched the Spirit, don't let the Holy Ghost move. They don't allow the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, and nobody knows one another, then my friend, no wonder they're losing attendance. Who's going to be interested in that? I'm not. I'm not going to get dressed and go to a cemetery where I can't, you know, get to know anyone or have fellowship because everybody's so shallow and there's no Spirit moving. I'm telling you. So these are some of the things. Let me go back to this. All right. And another thing that the early church possessed was the power of the Holy Spirit. You read about it. You go read the book of Acts. I'm telling you, there were miracles. There were signs, wonders, the gifts of the Spirit. You can find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All the gifts were in operation. And now as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, there's been more and more churches that have come forward and more people out there that no longer believe in the operation of the supernatural of God. They don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They don't believe in the miraculous. They don't believe in any of this stuff. They don't believe. And this is why I believe that Paul warned about. This is why I believe the Apostle Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said that he talks about in the last days, you're going to see this and perilous times will be here. And he says in there that you will see individuals who will have a form of godliness. They'll look the part, talk the part, act the part. They'll have all of it checked off, but they'll deny the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, from such people, turn away, run away from these. Avoid these people. Why? Because it will become contagious. It will rub off on you. And before you know it, you'll be in the same camp with these people, and you will no longer believe in healing, no longer believe in miracles. You'll no longer believe in the supernatural of God, the power of God, any of this stuff. So this is why he said there will be, in the last days, there will be perilous times. Now look, are you guys getting the picture here? Let me reel this back around and put it back together for you in case you're not getting all the puzzle pieces here together. The Apostle Paul had a revelation from the Lord of what the environment is going to look like in the last days church. And he tells us in his letter to Timothy and his letters to the church of Thessalonica, he said the falling away, and we've already went over and reiterated what that means. That is not talking about the world turning from God, because the world is if they don't have a covenant with God, guys, they don't even know the Lord. So this is not who he's talking about. He's talking about people of faith will depart from the faith. He said, and then he tells Timothy, who is a young pastor, look, Timothy, you need to know this, because I'm going to depart probably before you do. I'm going to leave this earth. I'm going to finish my race. But there's something you need to know, that in the latter days, as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, there will be perilous times. And he goes over this whole thing. Men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now think about that in the church too. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We got a lot of professed Christians. They claim they love God, but they don't spend time with God. They don't spend time in his word. They don't spend time in prayer. They don't spend time in the house of God. But yet on Sundays, they'll spend 7-8 hours of their day watching football. Oh, yeah. Y'all want me to preach right here? They'll spend hours out on the boat fishing. They'll spend hours out in the woods hunting. They'll spend hours on the golf course. But how much time do they spend with God? How much time do they spend in the word? How much time do they spend in his presence? They'll be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They'll have a form of godliness. Well, I know that brother. He's a Christian. Oh yeah, they go down there to the church out there on the corner. I seen them going one day. They dress nice. They talk about their church. They talk about church functions. But when you get down to the meat of it, do they really know the word? Because I've discovered that as well. There's a lot of people that has a form of godliness. Oh, they know how, they can talk Christianese. They know enough to get by and to present an appearance of Christ. But then when you get down to it, they will deny. Many of these people will flat out deny the power of the Holy Spirit. They will deny the gifts. They will deny the miraculous. They will deny the supernatural of God. And Paul is saying that as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, this is going to become rampant. This is going to become the norm. And I'm telling you, friends, this is where we're at today. We're in the normal. This is the normal today. A form of godliness, but a denying of the power of the Holy Ghost. A sign out on the door, a sign on their website that says they're alive. When you read the living church, I'm just throwing an example out there. The living church, the living church on solid rock, living church of Christ, whatever the case may be. But then you go inside and it's far from, it's not the living, it's the walking dead. No one hears from God. There's no move of God. There's no healing, no miraculous, no casting out devils. Devils are comfortable in the church. Oh, I'm in the Bible. This may be ruffling your feathers, but this is I'm in the Bible. So watch this. This is the indictment of the church today. This is the epitome of the modern day church today. Powerless, lifeless, form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And you know what's really sad? I'm noticing another trend too. Like this podcast right here will get far less views than if I was to talk about aliens and UFOs and drones and government conspiracies and some pandemic and this and that, that would explode with views and we would get thousands of views from that. But you talk about this and it's crickets. You talk about equipping message, crickets. You talk about prayer, crickets. Fasting, crickets. Intercession, crickets. Casting out devils, crickets. Deliverance, crickets. Nobody wants to hear about that stuff. Something's happened, guys. This was not the case 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Something's happening. People's interest have turned from the Bible as far as the meat of the word. Now, and I'm not saying this for, now, let me rephrase this, rewind back. The interest of the people already in the body of Christ, oh, this is good right here, is drifting from the word to what Paul said, fables. Conspiracy theories and drama. Ready? Whereas the world is losing interest in those things and are now becoming interested in the things of God. Do y'all see that? There's a shift, guys. There is a pendulum shift taking place. Many in the body of Christ are falling away from sound doctrine and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils and fables and conspiracies and gossip. Let me make this plain and simple for you. Again, we can post this podcast right here and you watch and I see the stats, guys. I see all the statistics. I get those things from YouTube and Facebook and different things. I see all the stats on it so I can see what people are interested in. And you start talking about stuff like this, and the body of Christ, for the most part, are not interested in this. They have no interest in it. But watch this. But you let a pastor or a man of God fall into a scandal. You let him get involved in some type of a situation where it makes headline news, and you and I come on here and do a podcast about that, we will get thousands and thousands of Christians. They'll want to eat that up. They'll be all over it. It'll be one of our top viewed podcasts. Now, how sad is that? Think about it. Because this is where we're at today. The church is falling away from the fundamental core principles wherein which the church was founded on. Read it, Book of Acts. And the church is no longer, for the most part, the body of Christ is not interested in this anymore. But yet, the world is starting to turn around. The world is coming to Christ. The world is now intrigued in, I want to know what my purpose is. I want to know what is going on. What's going on with these drones? What's going on with the wars? What's going on with the famines, the pestilences? What's going on with the turmoil and the things are going and everything and things are getting darker. So they're groping through the darkness, looking for purpose and looking for hope. And that, my friend, is why they have come to the Bible. Now, here's the sad part. Listen, all preachers, listen to me. We better be equipped in the Bible and be focused on that because they're coming to you. They're coming to your door. They're coming to my door. They're coming to your podcast. They're coming to my podcast. They're coming to your platform. They're coming to your ministry, my ministry, and they're wanting answers. They're looking for answers. What are we going to give them? Are we going to give them opinions and theories and conspiracies and gossip? Or are we going to give them sound doctrine? Now, again, I want to leave you with something here. As I said at the beginning of this, I believe this is prophetic, and I'm going to leave you with another. I'm going to show you that this is a parallel. Now, I touched on this recently when I did, five parallels from the birth of Christ that are repeating itself. Let me go back and touch on one of these. If you go back to the time of the birth of the Messiah, once Jesus was born, and as years passed, and he entered into his public ministry at the age of 30 years of age, right when he was about to be introduced into his public ministry, there was a individual who was raised up by God to prepare the way of the Lord. And his message was a message of repentance, for the kingdom of God was at hand. And he was baptizing people in the Jordan, and his name was John the Baptist. Now, there are some intriguing things that I believe is absolutely prophetic about John. Your Bible says in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, or it may be chapter 3, it's either 2 or 3, that when John the Baptist was, when he appeared on the scene, the Bible says he came in the anointing and the spirit of Elijah. Why? To prepare a generation for the coming of the Lord, to prepare the way of the Lord, to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the fathers to the children. To watch this, to unite generations together. Here's what he said about John, that all the people from the surrounding regions, the synagogues around him, the cities around him, they came to where he was. He didn't go to where they were. They came to where he was. Now, why did I say that? Because I believe if this thing continues the way it's going, and I'm telling you prophetically, it is. It's going full circle, guys. It started like this. It went way around, and it's going, and it's pulling back for full circle. Watch this. In the beginning, when the Messiah came on the scene, you had a voice crying in the wilderness that was anointed to unite generations, to preach a gospel of repentance, and turn them from their sins to the Lord. This voice also was despised in the church house. It was despised among denominations and religion. It had unorthodox characteristics about it that didn't fit into the religious boxes of those days. But watch this. But again, the people came to the voice. And watch this. And then you go into the book of Acts, the birth of the church, Acts chapter 2. From there on, it started out in home churches because of persecution. They gathered in their homes. Now, we fast forward thousands of years later, and I believe everything is going full circle. Persecution is rising. The falling away is taking place. And as a result of multiple things, the falling away, persecution, the departure of faith, the form of godliness and denying the power, all of these things have caused something to transpire in the body of Christ. And here's what it is. We're going full circle. I believe that God is raising up voices in this hour that are crying in the wilderness. They're unorthodox voices. It's going to be from people that don't fit the part, look the part, act the part, sound the part. They don't fit into the denominational boxes. They're not the status quo. They probably got some rough edges on them. They probably got some piercings you don't like. They probably got tattoos you don't like. They probably got a haircut you don't like. You don't like their dress style. You don't like the way they carry themselves, or whatever the case may be. But watch this. But they are raised up by God to be a voice crying in the wilderness, and churches will despise them. They don't want to have anything to do with them. They won't give them a platform to speak, whatever the case may be. So people are flocking to them. And these voices that are being raised up in this hour, are you ready for this? They have one message, and it's repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Watch this. They don't have an agenda. They don't have a motive. They're not geared to the young people, and they're not geared to the older folks. Their intent is to gather generations together. The fathers to the sons, and the sons to the fathers to the daughters and the daughters. the sons and daughters to the fathers and the fathers to the sons and daughters. This is their intent, because they want to see a move of God in their generation, and they have been anointed by God to be a voice crying in the wilderness to unite and to restore, come on, what has been lost. Now, again, and here's another thing I'm going to tell you. I believe as persecution continues to rise, and it's going to, and I said this, it's going to come to America, and it's going to be eventually down the road. It's going to come to the likes of what we see in the Middle East. It has to, guys. It's prophecy. It's going to happen. And you're going to see more and more. This is why I'm not surprised when you hear about these, what church attendance is dwindling. Because I believe it's going to go full circle, and we're going to go back to house churches. House churches are going to explode. Don't be surprised if you start seeing a headline saying that house gatherings, home churches are on the rise. Why? Because that which was is that which shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. So here's where I want to end with this podcast today. We have to recognize that just because the churches are, the attendance of churches is diminishing, and we're seeing churches close their doors and all this stuff going on, doesn't mean that the harvest is not plentiful. It absolutely is. Because again, the fact that the sales of Bibles are at an all-time high, that lets me know that indeed the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So you know what our mandate is? Come on. I believe God has raised up. There are some people that are watching, listening, by the broadcast of this or by the rebroadcast of this. You and I are voices crying in the wilderness. We are the remnant. And we need to raise up our voice, lift up our voices, and watch the hungry, the searching, the desperate, the hurting. These people are everywhere we go. They're in Walmart. They're in the stores. They're in the grocery stores. They're in your neighborhoods. They're in your family. Wherever they're at, they're looking for, come on, a voice crying in the wilderness. And they're saying, look, I just need you to show me the way. And that's where you and I, come on, come in, and we be that light. We let our light so shine among them that they may see our works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. We lead them, come on, to to the ways of Christ. So let me know, guys, what you think about this. Again, I know this is different, but it's something that was laid on my heart. And listen, we do have some announcements, so please stick around for just a second. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org. Again, endtimeheadlines.com. Our app is the best way to follow us. Again, it's available on Apple and Android devices. And of course, guys, if this ministry blessed you, encouraged you, equips you, and all of the above, you can support our ministry two different ways. You can give electronically, you can partner with us there, or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So listen, tonight, guys, it's Monday. That means tonight, Monday night, that means 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be right back here tonight. And we're going to do our prayer and devotional. I want to let you know, again, if you're listening outside of YouTube, why don't you come over here and subscribe to our channel so you can be a part of this broadcast. Tonight, listen, I need you, get your communion, all your pieces together. Get your little cup and your crackers and your juice and whatever the case may be, because we're going to do communion together tonight, live, 8 p.m. Eastern. Why? Because this is the last Monday night of 2024. We're gonna pray in the new year. Many of us are going to be entering into 21 days of prayer and fasting. So we're going to talk about that tonight, the importance of that, the significance of that, why that's something that could be beneficial to you and to me and to the body of Christ. What's the difference between a personal fast and a corporate fast? These are a lot of questions we're going to answer tonight in our devotional segment, and then we're going to pray into all this stuff. So you don't want to miss this tonight. Again, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. So we're going to let you go for now, but we'll see you guys in a few. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.